You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched. You've struggled. You've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered. You fought. You've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that he will hide us under his feathers, and under his wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan Devon is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan Devon.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Devall. This program is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com. Now, folks, today we're going to be getting into this subject called the Days of Chaos. Why? Because we're surrounded by chaos. And who better to talk about the Days of Chaos than the author of the book, Ali Marzulli. And he's going to be joining us today to talk about his new book and his new DVD, Watchers 9, both of which are very well done, if I might say so myself. We're going to be getting to him in a minute. Before we do, I'm going to talk to you just a little while about some of the vision, things that are going on at Bride Ministries. I need you guys to understand that I never set out to do a podcast. See, the podcast is a step. It is one phase in a series of steps that I am taking towards a vision. Now, the vision is bigger than the podcast. The vision is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Now, while some of the things we are actually doing may seem like a deviation from that agenda, because I ask myself all the time, what am I doing? I say this is my vision, but then I'm over here doing all of this. Really, what we're doing over here, which is all of this, is necessary in a roundabout way to ultimately get where we're going. You know, sometimes to get from Indiana to Pennsylvania, you got to go through Ohio. And so what we're doing is we are simply taking it one step at a time and saying, Lord, what next? Because the vision is huge, bigger than me, bigger than you. And the only way it's possible to execute a vision the size of what we're actually talking about doing is if God does it. And the only way God can do it is if I'm obedient to every step he takes me along a path that will ultimately allow him to work through me to the extent he needs to. And as we're going through in this process, we are really branching out in ways to make impact in the lives of those that are following us and discovering this podcast. One of those ways is through discipleship. You know, one of the big flaws of the present day church is there's no discipleship, right? You go to church, you sit, you listen, you get up, and you go home. Well, where's the discipleship in that? Purposeful equipping is something that is lacking. And there's a lot of things to blame for that. I'm not going to go in through and articulate it. What I'm going to say is we are trying to provide solutions. So we've developed a discipleship course. Not just one, four. So we have Grace in Christ, the Kingdom, and Spiritual Warfare. Is there any cost to participate in these 8-week studies? No. You can just sign up at www.bridemovement.com. We've launched the phase that we are in now this week. So If you want to participate, you'll have to wait till the next round, but you can go ahead and get your name on our waiting list now because it's going to be first come, first serve. Ultimately, I expect that we're going to be filling up these classes and outgrowing this platform that we have, which allows for about 30 people per class. But until then, hey, no cost. If you want to get equipped, if you want to learn how to be more effective about your faith and how to more effectively walk in the things of God, sign up. That's what it's there for. I went through all this effort. I created 4 packets. Sign up, you know. So that's that. What else do we want to do? We want to launch a ministry-based or an internet-based ministry service. You know, I get a lot of contact from people who say, there's nothing in my area. Dry. There is a famine of the Word of God, Daniel. That's why I get my church on podcasts, because it's just rough out here. I have no community, no friends. I don't know how to get what I'm getting on various podcasts and preaching on the internet and all that. So that's where I go. That's where I get fed. Well, we're going to try to create a solution here with an internet-based ministry service where, and believe me, we won't be doing Sunday morning, because those of you that do have church on Sunday morning, we don't want to compete with that. But we want to create a situation where we have a website that you can log into with your electronic device, iPhone, iPad, iPod, PC, smart TV, and stream a live service. We will produce a worship set and play it. After that, we will have a message delivered by myself or one of my associates. You will get equipped and empowered among a live audience of people watching the same thing, right? And then the really, I'd say, unique element of what we want to build will be that the website itself will be designed to funnel you into a discussion group immediately following the message, where you are able to get in groups with real people from around the world to have real dialogue and develop real community. Many people feel very distant. They're waking up to certain things. God's showing them certain things. They're in a certain phase in their life where the friends that they had are no longer there, but the community that they're looking for is only on Facebook. They can't find it around them. Well, we're going to try to take that one step further and say, you know, there's all these new technologies. You can talk face-to-face, Skype technologies, Google Plus technologies, any meeting technologies, you know, where you just interface with your little device camera, microphone, and we're going to create rooms where people are able to dialogue and moderate a discussion about the things they're learning and becoming aware of. And I think that it's going to be an awesome thing, and we want to launch this next year. Now that the discipleship is underway, all 4 phases have been developed, outlined. I have packets for each of them. This is really going to be my next major project, aside from books and stuff like that. So look forward to that. Folks, Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations, it's out. If you're on our email list, you're able to buy it. If you're not, well, it'll be on the website soon enough, but not quite yet. So I will be posting it to the website, making it available that way. Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and the Spirit Realm. This book I've been talking up forever. Guess what? It's now in process to be published. I hope to have copies before I leave for Australia. The first people that will really have the opportunity to buy it are going to be those in Australia. But when I come back, I'll be making that book available. That will be in December. Official release date will probably be sometime early January. But we have finally gotten to the point where that project is underway. It is being produced. Folks, the book is in its final form, and I know many of you are very excited about that project because it's where things are going. And so that book will be available real soon as well. In addition, we continue to help survivors. Folks, this is where most of the money that we raise is going. It's going right to the survivors. We are financing their deliverance and healing process, and we are preparing to move from 6 to 7 individuals that we are underwriting through the ministry. I can't thank you guys enough, because of your generosity, This is possible. Ministry is going forth, and people that have suffered the worst imaginable kinds of things that no one else in the body of Christ wants to really address, they're getting help because of you. And so thank you for helping. Thank you for being a hero, for getting on board, and for sowing. Because you know what? I believe that as a man sows, so shall he reap. And those of you that are helping us to help those that have suffered the worst are going to have a blessing from God returned to you. And without going any further, I mean, we have a lot to talk about with our very special guest, L.A. Marzulli. I don't want to belinger the point anymore. We're going to break. When we come back, he'll be with us. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with The End of All. Truth with The End of All. And folks, I'm really excited about our guest today. We're going to be talking with L.A. Marzulli. Now, I've done a few interviews with L.A. Marzulli in the past. And, you know, L.A. is quite an accomplished researcher. He's an award-winning author, lecturer, filmmaker, and internationally recognized specialist on the Nephilim, which are the giants mentioned in the Bible. He's written 9 books and received an honorary doctorate in recognition of his research. He is the executive producer and host of the critically acclaimed Watchers series. Those are on DVD. And they explore the paranormal, UFOs, and Earth Change. And these have recently received the Best Picture Award and People's Choice Award from the 2014 EBE Film Festival. I've been following L.A.'s work for a while personally. I greatly appreciate everything you've done. So, hey, L.A. Marzulli, it is a pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me back, Dan. Great to be here.
You know, I'm just going to jump right into it, L.A., because there's a lot that's going on in the world, a lot that we have to talk about. And your new book, The Days of Chaos, and the Watchers 9 DVD by the same subtitle, I mean, it's just packed. It's just packed. And I want to thank you personally for sending me these to review. And folks, I can say, you know, there's some great stuff going on with what he's just put out. So I want to begin with this. There's a number of eschatological, which means studies of the end times, camps, right? And one of those is known as preterism, which you are not, and me either. But it basically sets the fulfillment of Matthew 24 and similar passages in a, well, first century context. And so when we do this, oftentimes we say, well, we're spending too much time looking at events, when really we should just be focusing on the gospel or some kind of conclusion like this. Really, there's nothing to everything that's exploding in front of our eyes. So you point to Matthew 24, particularly verse 7, repeatedly as you give explanations for many of the things that are happening. You call it the days of chaos, right? So this makes you a futurist. Why do you reject preterism?
Well, if preterism is true, then this is the millennial kingdom. And if this is the millennial kingdom, I give up. I'll shave my head, become a Buddhist. I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, preterism tries to tell us that everything was done and fulfilled in AD 70, but that's not the case. And the fact that the Jews are back in the homeland, you know, how do you figure that? Look, In my opinion, if you're a preterist, you can't see the forest for the trees. You can't make any sense at all about what is going on right now in modernity in real time. You can't if you cling and hold to that position. I think the only tenable position for a Bible-believing Christian is one of a pre-tribulation rapture with a the idea of the millennial kingdom is future. So with that in mind, that's exactly what we see forming. Israel is back in the homeland after almost 2,000 years. Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38. Who knows which one's going to pop first? If Bill Salas were here with us, he would insist Psalm 83. And you know what? Bill may be right. I don't know. And I'm in his camp. He's a good friend. All I know is that everything is heating up in ways that I've never seen it before. And Jesus warns us that in the latter days, in the time before his return, there'll be, and there's a whole laundry list that he says here. The first thing he says, don't let anyone deceive you. Many will come in my name saying I am the Messiah. Don't believe them. And of course, when he's saying this almost 2,000 years ago, there is no church. You know, there is no Christianity as we know it. He's, as Chuck Messer would say, it's a confidential briefing that he's giving to his disciples. And he's saying, look, many will come in my name, which is absolutely, that statement is so filled with hubris, it's just absurd. Who do you think you are, pal? Many will come in my name. I mean, who do you think you are? You're just some rabbi running around, but you're doing all this stuff, and that's why we're with you, but, you know, come on now. And, of course, everything that he says is true, because many have come in Yeshua, Jesus' name, declaring to be the second coming. There's a bunch of these clowns running around the planet right now, and we address some of them in Watchers 9. There's a whole chapter in my book on this, the false Messiah. It is chapter, where is it? It's one of the chapters. Yeah, here it is. It's chapter 6, False Christ and Other False Prophets. They're all over the place, and they've been this way throughout the last 2,000 years. So the fact that Jesus starts with this blatant statement, in-your-face statement going, look, many are going to come in my name telling you that they're the Messiah. Don't be deceived. Don't let anyone deceive you. I'm the real guy. And then he says, but before I come back, I'm paraphrasing here, these are the things you need to look for. Wars and rumors of war, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, troublesome times, men faint from fear from what is coming upon the earth. And in my opinion, Dan, we are looking at all of this happening in real time in ways that I've never seen before. It is absolutely unprecedented. And that's what the DVD Watchers 9 is about, Days of Chaos. That's what the book, over 300 pages, Days of Chaos, is about. And you get the two together because they cover different subjects, and they're completely different mediums. You know, reading is reading. And we have an ebook. It just hasn't gone up yet, Days of Chaos, and all the links are hot. So that means a person can buy the ebook, go online, and then can do their own research in the sense that check the links, look for yourself, see what's going on, get informed, understand that these are tenuous, tumultuous, unprecedented times. And, you know, there are people who are listening to this, oh, well, you know, I'll get around it. You know, it's like, folks, there's no time like the present. Trust me. You need to arm yourself with this stuff. You need to understand where we're at, what's going on, that things are happening on this planet faster than I can keep up with them. I'm just one guy. I can barely keep up with the news cycle and what's happening. Look at what's happening in the Middle East. You got the Ruskies coming in, Tsar Vladimir. You've got the Chaicoms joining the Ruskies, both of them, you know, looking at that Syrian port of Tarsus, 150,000 troops or upwards of that. The S-300 anti-missile system has now been given over to the Iranians. That ups the ante. ISIS is still running around butchering Christians and everybody else they get their hands on. Upwards of 1 million so-called Syrian Iraqi refugees have fled the Middle East and basically invaded Europe. That is an Islamic invasion. Interestingly enough, the Saudi Arabians have a tent city that can hold up upwards of 3 million people, which is also air conditioned. They've accepted zero of the refugees. So it lets you know what's going on. And now it's starting to heat up. The Germans are pushing back. The Austrians are pushing back. The Swedes are pushing back. Everybody's pushing back and going, wait a minute. We can't take all these people. This is crazy. And it is basically an army. And what it will do, what it's already doing, actually, is changing the cultural fabric of Europe. We're supposed to take 20,000 of these guys into our country. How do we know who's a terrorist and who isn't? And what's interesting is that I've been using this, you know, Dr. Ben Carson, who's running for president of the United States, you know, bully for Dr. Ben when he said that a Muslim should not be president because a Muslim will always adhere to Sharia law. And here are just 6 points that show the disparity between Sharia and the United States Constitution. One, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Sharia law states that Allah's word is the government. The United States Constitution says that we have the right to keep and bear arms, and that shall not be infringed upon, Second Amendment. The Sharia law says non-Muslims cannot possess weapons of any kind. Isn't that nice? The United States Constitution says no unreasonable searches and seizures. Sharia law states seize land, houses, and wealth of non-Muslims. United States Constitution says no cruel and unusual punishment. Sharia law states cut off the hands of the thieves, and if you catch someone fornicating, flog them with 100 lashes. The United States Constitution states Congress shall allow the freedom of speech. Sharia law states you shall not insult Allah or his prophet. The United States Constitution states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Sharia law says those who reject Islam must be killed. So I'm not making this stuff up. Dr. Ben Carson knows what he says. Bully for Dr. Ben. And we can't have a Muslim president because they will hold to Sharia, and that is incompatible with our U.S. Constitution. So, you know, you start going around the world, you look at North Korea and Kim Jong-un threatening to nuke the United States. Then you look at the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They've coalesced desperately trying to create a new global currency, which would be the Chinese yuan, and move the global petrodollar, move the entire global currency, the entire global financial system from the U.S. petrodollar to the Chinese yuan. This is why oil, the price of gas went way down about 8 months ago.
Which was nice.
Yeah, it was wonderful because Tsar Vladimir and the Ruskies are the second largest exporter of oil on the planet. So that's how we hit them back, by trying to create this BRICS nation. We have, unfortunately, with all due respect to our president, we have an amateur. And I quote Charles Krautheimer, who calls Obama a rank amateur. And that's exactly what he is. How does a community organizer go from doing that to the world stage overnight with zero training? Well, the bottom is you can't. And it's obviously becoming very clear that he has no idea what he's doing. Just look at the foreign policy. Just look at the mess that the planet is in since he took over. Added to this, you've got the Arab Spring. No one saw the Arab Spring coming 5-6 years ago. And it has swept through the Middle East, North Africa. And we see from that, of course, complete instability in the Middle East. Added to that now is the new phenomenon, which is stab the Jew. Which has been happening in Israel. And once again, this is end times a go-go. Jerusalem is the stumbling block of all nations, just like prophecy written thousands of years ago tells us. And now I posted on my blog, lamarzulli.wordpress.com, this guy in an automobile runs over a rabbi, then it hits another guy, and these guys go flying through the air, crashes into a light post, climbs out of the car with a meat cleaver and starts hacking the rabbi laying on the ground, then turns his attention to the other guy and starts hacking him apart with a meat cleaver. Finally, some guy shoots him. You know, whether he's a, you know, IDF, police, I don't know who this guy is, but he's got the revolver, and he shoots the guy dead. I mean, you can't get any crazier than this. And this is what's been going. This is the new form of intifada. Instead of the terrorists blowing themselves up, they just take a knife and start stabbing the Jew. This is where we are. This is a religious war. That's exactly what it is. You've got two sets of different supernatural events which have colored the body politic. One, you've got the Mosaic Law, which has colored the body politic of Israel. The other one is you've got Islam, a supernatural event where Muhammad receives the Quran, which has certainly colored the body politic all throughout the Arab nations and Sunni and Shia Muslim throughout the entire region. So you've got two sets of supernatural events which literally are at loggerheads with each other. Both can't be right, period. Both can't be right. Somebody's way off base here. And I'll just leave it at that, and the listener can decide which one is way off base. Every Friday in Iran, they chant, death to the Jews, death to the Jews. Food prices are on the rise. Threat of a bee colony die-off. We've got record drought in California, record flooding in other places. I mean, are you kidding me? Not to mention the record earthquakes. People say, oh, there's no upticks. Look, you go back a couple of years ago, there are two earthquakes as in on an average in Oklahoma. Two earthquakes per year in Oklahoma. They're approaching 600 2015. You think that's an uptick? You know, you can tap dance around those figures and you can try to fudge them and manipulate them like they do climate change all day long. From two to just below 600, are you kidding me? Volcanoes are awakening that have been lying dormant forever. If we get a super volcano here, it's a game changer. If the Fukushima Daiichi plant, if we get another tidal wave or another earthquake like we had several years back with the 9.0, which crippled the Fukushima Daiichi reactor, which now in 2015 continues to leak millions of gallons of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. I mean, folks, I'm not making this stuff up. These are the days of chaos. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's just, it's all over the map. It's anything goes. The rise of lawlessness. Look at what's going on in this country. You know, we're approaching Black Friday when the stampedes at Walmart and other places. Watch what happens. Watch how crazy it gets, how people will trample and push and shove for a $12 toaster. This is where we are. And then you throw the abortion stuff on top of that, the 1 billion aborted babies. And you got these crazy Anglican and Methodist priests with the robes, and these women are in front of an abortion clinic. You know, thank God for abortion. I mean, this is, you know, they're calling good evil and evil good. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on. And it is wacky. Planned Parenthood selling baby parts? I mean, you know, what planet am I on, Dan?
And you get into, you got into a lot of this in your DVD, exactly. Watchers 9. And
exactly.
You, you know, allow for a lot of the people that you have interviewed in there to really give some insider information. As a matter of fact, when I was watching that DVD, one of the things I found interesting was the gentleman that you interviewed from Iran. And he was talking about the actual, the viewpoint that he had of the way things were going on there. And he said that there's been almost a rebutting against the Islam, the form that they have there. Can you talk about that a little bit and what your interviewee was saying in that DVD?
Yeah, I'd love to. We don't know who this guy is. Mm-hmm. He came to us through a mutual friend. We don't know his real name. We have no idea where he is at the present moment. We know nothing about him. Only that he's a pastor, underground pastor in Iran. Again, don't know his name. His face was blacked out. I mean, everything. So we know nothing about this guy. But he told us a story. And he said that right now in Iran, Christianity is the number one public enemy of the mullahs, because thousands of people, thousands of Iranians are coming to Messiah, are coming to Christ, because they realize to them that Islam is hopeless. They're tired of it. They don't want it. There's nothing there for them. And Jesus is appearing in dreams and visions. It's a mission field. In fact, the country is exploding with Christians. And that's, of course, you can't be a Christian. And we know what happens in Islam. I've got video of this. Anyone who leaves Islam, the order from Sharia is to kill them immediately. Kill them. There's no equivocation. You just kill them. Thank
right.
you. You know, that's welcome to Islam. Now, you can, where are the moderates when you need them? Because the moderates aren't going to stand up for that. The moderates are, you know, go against it. They're going to say, well, that's what the Quran says. Kill them. You know, anyone who leaves Islam, it's a death sentence. And yet, all throughout Iran, who is a Shia branch of Islam, thousands are turning to the Messiah. Thousands are coming to Jesus in ways that echo what happened in the first century. So this man from Iran, this pastor from Iran, is told, and again, we don't know his name. I mean, he called himself Mansour, but, you know, it's like that's just a phony name.
Okay.
I can't even tell you what he looks like. Seriously, can't tell you what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So Mansour tells us this story, which is absolutely incredible. And he tells us that he's told to go out and see this guy who lives out in the desert. So because something, he's had an encounter. So this, you know, the pastor goes out, and this guy's living in a one room hut with a dirt floor, no electricity, no running water, nothing, in the middle of nowhere. And this guy begins to tell him a story. And one night there's a knock on the door, and he goes to the door wondering who the heck could it be. And it's right at dusk. And there's a man out standing outside with a long robe, and the man's glowing. He's like radiating. He's like brilliant. And so this guy invites him in. They sit down at the table. And he asks if he has pen and paper. And this guy does. And he procures the pen and paper. And this man with the white robe begins to dictate in Farsi to this hermit, for lack of a better word. The guy falls to sleep. He wakes up the next morning. The stranger is gone. Wonders what it was about. And the next night, knock on the door again, goes to the door, it's the same guy. This happens for about a month. And this guy's got like a stack of pages written. And this is what our friendly, you know, the missionary goes out, or the pastor, I should say, goes out. And this man hands him this stack of paper that he's been writing in Farsi, in longhand. And he begins to read it, and he realizes to his utter astonishment that it is the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John in Farsi.
That was wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like you can't make this stuff up. So, you know, behind closed doors, the mullahs know what's going on. They're terrified because people are coming to Christ. And anyone in Iran or any other Muslim country that converts knows it's a death sentence, and yet they're doing it anyway. So, you know, that's what's going on. It's quite amazing. And of course, that is in Watchers 9.
You know, LA, from my point of view, like from my little vantage point here where in my little world, you know, one of the things that I believe is happening is that in response to the uptick of chaos and all this turmoil that is breaking out, which I believe is signs of the times and that we are sure in the last days, there's also an uptick of the radical nature of the things that God is doing. That story being one of them. I mean, you know, how many people were testifying that a divine being, Jesus himself, was knocking on people's doors, giving the book of John in 1300 AD. I mean, it's like, wow, that's amazing. So God is definitely doing some things. Now, here's one of the things I wanted to bring up, because on the back of your book, Days of Chaos, you have in big, bold print, Birth Pains. And I know where you pulled that from, because it's in Romans chapter 8. And it says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Okay, so how do you see birth pains playing into what's going on in the earth right now? And obviously I skipped verse 21, which says, "Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." How do you see that theme playing into everything that's going on right now?
Well, I think what I talked about in that monologue in the front about all the different things that are happening globally, this all plays into, it's all leading someplace, it's all building up. The birth pains give birth to the tribulation period, that seven-year period, unlike any other in human history, called the time of Jacob's trouble. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. And Israel, it will be very much troubled by what we see. I don't believe a church will be here for this. I think we're taken out in advance of that. But we're already seeing so much happen that it's just very alarming. So I think that the birth pangs, and like a woman in labor, things are happening quicker, aren't they? It's like just when you think it's safe, no, 5 or 10 other things jump on the bandwagon, and it's becoming so complex and so out of hand. You know, there's several sayings that I've come up with recently, and one of them is the only way out of this mess may be up. And what I mean by that, you can't fix this anymore. It's beyond fixing, in my opinion, and it's compounding like interest. It's compounding daily. And the only way out of this mess, literally, may be the blessed hope, may be up, because you're not going to change the ideology of the Iranians. You're not going to change the ideology of ISIS or Hamas or Hezbollah or basically any Muslim in the Middle East. Certainly, they'll never accept Israel, and they'll never accept the Israelis or the Jews building the third temple on the Temple Mount. Yet prophecy tells us that there will be a third temple on that Temple Mount. So, you know, wake up, folks. It's going to happen at some time. There's another saying that I use, which is, what was written will come to pass. What was foretold will unfold. And it's exactly right. The prophetic narrative, the biblical prophetic narrative, which is written thousands of years ago, we're watching it come to pass. What was written then is now coming to pass in modernity, in real time. What was foretold thousands of years ago is now unfolding right in front of us. So, you know, that's a cute little or a quaint little expression, but I think it wraps up exactly where we are in a very poignant way. You know, what was written will come to pass. What was foretold will unfold. And I think we're in the window of time where we're seeing it. Again, these days are the days of chaos. It's not a feel-good message. It's not what people want to hear. I'm sure they'd much rather hear, you know, that if you just say these magic prayers, Jesus will bless you and prosper you and enlarge your territory and blah, 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 blah. But that's not what's happening, is it? And we see that the world is in a very precarious place right now with really no solution to much of it.
Well, thank you for that. And, of course, my whole audience knows that I'm not a pre-tribber, and I have no desire to go into that debate because what we do agree on for sure is that there is a future fulfillment of a lot of these prophecies.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, I'm letting you talk because I respect you as a researcher and a Christian and a follower of Christ. And, you know, the thing is that there is a lot of things that are in our face, so to speak. And I don't deny any of it. As a matter of fact, you track a lot of developing themes in your book, including the inclusive of the things you've mentioned, as well as more. I want to get into this conversation on ISIS with you because, man, is that like just a growing threat? And you've already been building this, you know, theme of, okay, I've been tracking this whole Islam thing and not good news here. What do you see happening with ISIS right now?
Well, again, you know, the 6 o'clock news doesn't do its job. We have a media that's lost its teeth. It's a paper tiger. They're in the tank. Everything is a managed agenda, as Chuck Missler would say. Events are carefully kept away from the American people. So Americans, for the most part, are dumbed down. ISIS was started more than likely by the CIA in Jordan. Mm-hmm. They were trained by the CIA, equipped by the CIA, to topple Bashar al-Assad. That's what they were originally created for, in my opinion. They went rogue. They looked around and said, well, what do we need to do this for the Americans? The Americans are infidel. They've just equipped this. We'll just take it for us and set up an Islamic caliphate. The dream of pretty much every sect of Muslims is a caliphate. The Shia Muslims in Iran want a caliphate, a Shia caliphate. The Saudis want a Saudi caliphate. ISIS wants an ISIS caliphate. The Muslim Brotherhood wants a, you know, Muslim Brotherhood caliphate. They're all trying to vie for a caliphate, and they'll kill each other in the process. They could care less. This is why we see ISIS killing, lining up the Shia on the banks of a river and blowing, you know, just one guy is picked up or just moved up in the front of a line. He's being held. Another guy's got a revolver. Bam, one shot to the head. They push him into the river. Next guy comes up. Bam, push him into the river. I mean, it's mass execution. They got Shia Muslims lying in a trench, and a guy with an AK-47 just walks by. Boom, like he's shooting pumpkins. Like he's shooting pumpkins from like 5-6 feet away, just casually pulling the trigger and blowing them all away. Allahu Akbar, God is great. Boom. Allahu Akbar, God is great. Boom. What God are you praying to, pal? What God are you praying to? It's not any God that I know or any God that I want to know, let me tell you. And so that's what we see with ISIS. It's absolute insanity. The Muslim Brotherhood, there's an imam over there, very fiery guy called Higazi, Safwat Higazi. And when Morsi was running on the Muslim Brotherhood ticket, and he was elected and became president of Egypt for a while and immediately cracked down with Sharia, and everybody went, oh, we're not doing this. We're not going back here. And they overthrew Morsi, and now he's in jail facing execution. It's just, you know, it's just so crazy. I can't believe it. But Higazi is in Tahrir Square. And he's yelling and screaming in the microphone like the little Hitler that he really is. And, of course, I'll digress for a second. The musical program, the musical portion of the program, this guy stands up, and the words in English are, "Let's wake the sleep from the eyes of the Jews." Wake the sleep. If you haven't seen it, it's mind-blowing. Wake the sleep from the eyes of the Jews. I mean, that's the song. And then, you know, Safwat Higazi stands up, and he's yelling and screaming, and he's going, you know, our United, the capital of the newly created United Arab States, will not be Mecca and Medina. That's what he says. Not Mecca or Medina or anywhere else. And then he pauses. He says, "I say it loud from the Delta, from Egypt, so everyone can hear. The capital of the United Arab States, the capital of the United Arab States will be Al-Quds." And Al-Quds is Jerusalem. They never say Jerusalem. That's the Jewish word for it. So Jerusalem is always Al-Quds. And then thousands, tens of thousands of people begin to chant in Arabic, "To Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions." I'm not making this up. I've posted it on my blog numerous times. I've shown it at conferences. People just sit there. They're stunned. And it begs the question, Daniel, why the heck hasn't our media done due diligence and shown that clip to the American people? Shame on them for not doing it. Shame on them. That's the face of Islam. That's what's going on in the Middle East. Wake the sleep from the eyes of the Jews. To Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the middle. There was a martyrs in the millions. There was a banner that was unfolded when Morsi was president. So the Muslim Brotherhood has gone back down underground because they got deposed very quickly. And the banner was unfurled at a soccer game. You know what that banner said? One nation under a new Holocaust. Am I making this stuff up? And then you get a clown like John Swiftboat Kerry. With all due respect, Mr. Kerry, Mr. Secretary, with all due respect, you have no clue. Because if you had any clue as to what's going on, you never would have made the Iranian deal, unless you want to wipe Israel off the map. Unless you're in league with these clowns. Because as Bibi Netanyahu says, this is the worst deal that's ever come down the pike. And the Iranians, just today they talked about the idea that the Iranians have a ballistic missile. So what's next? EMP, which I've been writing about for basically years now, because that's what the Iranians want to do. We're the great Satan. America is the great Satan. Israel will be wiped out. See, this is what amazes me.
That's true. You know, they do. They call America the big Satan.
The great Satan.
Israel's like the little Satan.
Israel's the little Satan. And Khomeini has said that by the year 2022, which is, you know what, a few years from now, right? Mm-hmm. A few years from now, Israel will cease to exist. Well, that means if that's the little Satan, they're not telling us what's going to happen to the big Satan. They're going to try to take us out. They are. They're going to try to take us out, and they'll do it through an EMP. They're not stupid. They're brilliant, actually, but they're not stupid. Now, and that's my greatest fear.
You talk about EMPs in your DVD.
Yeah.
And okay, so average American says there's no way a ballistic missile is going to actually get enough time to get over our borders and hit an infrastructure point like an electric power grid. Okay, how do you respond to that?
They don't know what they're talking about. It's very easy, and I'm sure the Iranians will do something like this. You take an oil tanker and you retrofit it. It becomes a missile launcher, and you just sail leisurely out the Strait of Hormuz. And, you know, you can go across the Panama Canal or go across however you want to get here. But you park that puppy 200 miles in international water off the Gulf of Mexico, and then you launch it. And, you know, it's in international waters, and we are so dumbed down that unless someone was really on the ball and looked at that launch and immediately scrambled another missile to take it down, you're toast. Because that's an ICBM. That's an intercontinental ballistic missile. That's a ballistic missile which is going to go up very quickly. It's going to reach 200 miles in the atmosphere. And when it reaches that point, it will detonate its payload, which is just a small nuclear device, which will then set out an electromagnetic pulse, which will short-circuit all of the electrical items that we know. Telephones won't work, TVs, toasters, microwaves, your car won't start. If it's wintertime, the heat goes down, everything. Life as we know it, it's over. No refrigeration, nothing. No fans, nothing. No internet, nothing. We're back to pre-industrial revolution times. We're back around 1855, where there are, you know, the horse and buggy, that's how you get around. And that's it. And there was a bill that was floated in front of Congress several years back. It would have cost us, you know, probably $500 million to upgrade the grid and make it so if something happened, we could get the grid back up and running in 2 weeks instead of 2 or 3 years. They voted it down. Okay. The idiots in Washington voted it down.
Now, speaking of threats, because this is one, and you bring it up. You know, this is... Everyone came against Trump, right? The moment that he began to address border issues months ago. I mean, it was like...
Can't have that.
Well, he's a criminal. And, all right. There are some issues going on at the border of the U.S., and you do also address this in your research and findings and all that. Can you talk about what's going on down there from your perspective?
Well, you might remember when 9/11 happened, we're going to close the southern border. Mm-hmm. That's what he told us. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, the border was porous. And the border people down there are hampered because of the Obama administration. In fact, thousands come across illegally all the time. What's great about Trump, let's just turn the tables before we get to the Donald. Why don't we just, let's do an experiment, okay? Let's just get 3,000 random Americans. We'll just pack them in our vehicles and we'll just go down to Mexico and say, hey, we're here. We want amnesty. Hey, we're here. Feed us. Give us free stuff. Can we go on welfare? We'll pick your lettuce. Come on. What do you say? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The tables would be turned in about 3 seconds. You'd be deported, you'd be jailed. Oh, but the Mexicans and the Mexican government, which, by the way, Mexico, the Constitution, is actually half the control of Mexico is controlled by the Vatican. Most people don't know that. Isn't that interesting? Mexico is one of the poorest countries on the planet. It's kept in abject poverty all the time, but I digress. The bottom line is bully for the Donald. This should have been done under the Bush administration, but because W is just as much of a weasel as everybody else in Washington, nothing ever gets done. They can't even complete a stinking fence to keep the illegals out. Bully for the Donald. God bless the man, because that's what we need. You can't have millions and millions and millions of illegals into the country. It will change the cultural fabric, just like what's going on in Europe. And I think it was the minister or the president of Austria stood up and said, Islam has never been part of Europe. Oh, wait, whoa, wait a minute now. That's politically incorrect. You can't say that. This is multi-culti all the way. Nonsense. The man knows of what he speaks. Islam has never been part of Europe, ever, period. They were stopped by Charles Martel, Battle of Tours. They were stopped at the gates of Vienna. That's why it was at one time a Christian country. Or a Christian continent, no longer. It's now a mission field. So, you know, now he's stating the obvious. We can't let millions and millions and millions of people from South America up through and into this country illegally. You can't do it. We've already done it. No one's got the guts to stop it. And the moment someone says, you know, you get guys like Geraldo Rivera, oh my gosh, blah, blah. Wait a minute, Geraldo. Wait. Let's just turn the tables. We'll just take 500 and we'll go down to El Salvador tomorrow. How does that sound? And we'll just set up camp and say, feed us. Give us free stuff. Let us come in welfare. Hey, can we use your medical system too? Let's just see what happens. But somehow in America, we're supposed to take everybody in here. Look, immigration is filled with red tape and it needs to get cleaned up. And it needs to get streamlined so people that want to come into the country and want to come in legally can do so. There's so much red tape that it's almost impossible to get in. It really is very, very difficult. And I understand that. And they also should ban anyone from a Middle Eastern country which harbors or sponsors an anti-Israel ideology or harbors or sponsors terrorism. Period. Doesn't matter. I don't care what you're studying or what you want to come over and study here. Go study in your own stinking country. You don't come in the United States of America if you are from a country which sponsors or harbors or trains any terrorist, like Saudi Arabia. Hello? But, you know, we don't do that because the Saudis basically pay everybody off, and so here we are. So, look, there's a lot wrong, and that's what's great about Donald. The other thing he said, which was just incredible, he said, day one, get rid of the gangs. I just, you know, I can't even believe he's saying it, because finally he's addressing what every American knows is a rising problem in all of our cities, the rise of MS-13, the rise of these violent, brutal gangs. I mean, they're unbelievable.
Right, and the Donald says, problem.
Yeah, the Donald says, from day one, we go after the gangs. Hallelujah. I love the guy. I love him. I think he's great.
Okay. You mentioned false Christ a little bit ago. And, you know, but you were kind of just giving a brief overview as you were introducing why. Like, okay, this is all that's going on, which is why I'm thinking this passage in the Bible is talking about now, not 2,000 years ago. Well, what are some more details you can give us about false Christ's present day?
There's a guy in Russia. He's called the Russian Messiah. He's got thousands of followers. He looks like, you know, he's got the long hair and the beard and the robes, and, you know, and everybody just, they sing songs to this guy. They believe that he's the second coming. He was a traffic cop, and one day he realized he was the Son of God. It's amazing how it happens, isn't it? And, you know, and now he's got thousands and thousands of people that follow him in Russia. There's a commune where all these people gather. And it's just, you know, the video I show of this guy, people just sit there and they can't even believe it. I mean, they can't even believe what they're looking at. But there it is. Then you got this guy from Illinois or Ohio someplace. I'm not sure where he is. He came on the scene a while back. He's really faded. His name is Rael, R-A-E-L. And he comes riding in a Knights Templar outfit. He's got long black hair, you know, and on this white horse. And he's supposed to be the second coming. And I actually had communication with him to try to get an interview. And I was told that Rael is not taking any interviews, but he's familiar with your work and generally pleased with your scholarship. Oh, thank you. I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up.
That's a very interesting response to an interview request from Rael.
It's just unbelievable. You've got Benjamin Cram, who's been saying for years, since 1982, that the Christ is now here, Messiah is now here, Maitreya. I've been keeping a close eye on him. And every now and then he ups his ante. A few years back, he was saying that the reemergence of the Bethlehem Star was going to be seen, and that the Bethlehem Star 2,000 years ago was nothing more than a giant UFO mothership. And so people were seeing it, and he's got pictures all over his website. So I keep track of all this stuff and write about it. You know, you can't make this stuff up, Dan. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that's where we are in 2015. And, you know, we're only scratching the surface of what's in the DVD, what's in the book, Days of Chaos. You know, folks, you need to understand, because Yeshua tells us, he says, when you see these things begin to happen, don't cower, don't be afraid, don't build a bomb shelter, look up, because your redemption is coming. I'm coming back for you at some point. And like Dan says, we can argue, you know, whether it's pre-mid or post all day long. It doesn't matter. You know, I have my position. Dan, you've got yours. The bottom line is we are in the days of chaos. Something is coming. Something's already here. It's not good. You know, we didn't even touch on it. I know we don't have time for it. I'm looking at the clock. The whole burgeoning UFO phenomenon, which is not going away. I mean,
we can get into it.
Yeah. What happens if disclosure is like not one ship, not two ships, but hundreds of ships appearing all over the skies at the same time? Whoa. You want to talk about a global paradigm shift? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It'll happen in a twinkling of an eye, literally. So, you know, we start talking about this stuff, and it's just incredibly alarming.
Well, I think that there's been a lot of prepping. I mean, the whole alien gospel, the idea that salvation is coming from the skies above, that's been pervading culture, especially in the United States now. And there's been a ramp up of that for sure. And I mean, with what I'm dealing with now, I mean, we have guests all the time, people that are coming out of the highest levels of the occult world and talking about their experiences on this program with various groups. And it's just, like right in your face. There it is, you know. And they have a very evil, wicked agenda. Everyone's not lying. And it has I mean, ramifications, I think, that are eschatological. In other words, they have a plan to promote a new world order agenda. They're actually part of that. Let me ask you a question. How do you see, and you know, I have my own ideas on this, but I want to know what your ideas are. How do you see the whole UFO thing, some of these various groups, people report, reptilians, grays, Nordics, so on and so forth, playing into a Luciferian New World Order? Where do you see that kind of coming together?
Well, the Ancient Aliens series, I think they're in season 8 or 9. I've lost track. But, you know, they promulgate the ancient astronaut theory every Friday night. And they've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of viewers and followers that believe that we were actually created here by E.T. There's another guy called Ray L., another, you know, false messiah, who's telling people that he and Jesus were brothers. They were sired by the Elohim. I mean, this guy's talking about that the Jews need to move out of Israel. That's what they need to do. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's going on. But Ray L., this guy, not Ra-El, Ray L., Ray L. is the former race car driver, Claude Varlohorn, who had a UFO encounter. And he believes, like many of the evolutionists, that we were seeded here, created here by a group of extraterrestrials, and that they are going to return at some point very soon. This has promulgated this idea of panspermia, that we were seeded here by a race of extraterrestrials. It is basically the theme of the ancient astronaut show, Ancient Aliens, on the History Channel. This is why I've written 9 books on the subject, you know, either on the subject or around the subject. There's a whole 3 chapters here in the Days of Chaos about the UFO phenomena, the coming great deception and the messengers of deception. Chapter 17, the great falling away. All this deals with the burgeoning UFO phenomenon and how at some point I believe that when they show up, it's a game changer. I believe, and I realize this is a controversial piece of scripture, 2 Thessalonians says that the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will not be revealed until the apostasy happens. Some people believe that that's the rapture. I do not hold that view. I think if it was a rapture, he would have used another view, another word other than apostasy. I mean, yes, apostasy can mean departure, but in context of departure, like apostasy, leaving the faith, turning from the faith, departing from something. That's what apostasy is.
Yep.
And I think that what would cause the apostasy would be the unveiling of the UFO presence, the extraterrestrial presence. And when it happens, look, when it happens, man, everything changes. And there's too many sightings now, Dan. It's off the charts. We believe that the hybrids are beginning to manifest. We're starting to get people who are telling us tales about that, and that's not going away. So I think it's sooner than later. I really do.
Well, and you know, I think it's almost like a sliding scale. It's like, you know, it starts at 1, but then it goes to 10.
Yeah.
And along, you actually have incremental numbers, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like there is an increase, because I'm getting, you should see what I get in my email, brother. I mean, wow. And I mean, it's like, yeah, people are already having these beings appearing to them. They're dealing with them. They're having, you know, all kinds of relations with them, including sexual. I mean, it's like, and I'm getting the emails about it. Like right now, like last year. And it's like, okay, I mean, while you have part of the public that's saying, oh, this is crazy, and everyone that talks about it is crazy, you have this whole other part of the public that's like, we're already experiencing it. It is already manifesting in our backyard, literally in our homes. And, you know, where do we get answers? And the problem is all the answers are coming from the New Agers that are telling, well, yeah, you can channel them and do all kinds of things with these guys. And there's this huge vacuum in the body of Christ for answers, which is one of the biggest problems I'm running into, because it's like, we can't answer everyone's questions, just don't have time. Praise God that not every Christian minister and leader and person in the body of Christ is afraid to touch this, like yourself. And, you know, it but there it is.
Well, look, something is coming. And I've lectured on this, I've written on it and incessantly, and continue to do so.
Yes.
Genesis 3 states that the seed of the serpent will be at enmity with the seed of the woman. That's a seed war. There's no way around that. The seed of a serpent, Satan, will be at enmity, at war with the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman produces Messiah. We know that. That's already happened. The seed of a serpent, and this is why the Antichrist doesn't become the Antichrist. You know, he doesn't go to Antichrist school and, you know, Eddie, you're doing a really good job. We think that you're going to be, it doesn't work that way. The Antichrist literally is the seed of the fallen cherub.
Yes.
I believe. That's my take on it. And I'm stuck with it.
I believe that as well. You know, it says he's the son of perdition in the book of 2 Thessalonians.
There you go. The offspring, the son of perdition, the offspring. And that's what it is. And there's a seed war that's going on. And people would do well to understand that the seed war, that Genesis 3 passage, basically sets up the rest of the biblical narrative. Without Genesis 3, an understanding of Genesis 3, when we get to Genesis 6, we're clueless. When we get to other passages, we become more clueless. And finally, we get to Jesus' words of warning to us, stating it'll be like the days of Noah when I return. We have no idea what he's talking about. And so it's very important to understand Genesis 3, who the Nephilim were, the fact that there is a seed war, that it's been going on, that it hasn't stopped, that it continues. And I'll leave the interview by giving you a story from Pastor Mike McClung, whom I know personally and have spoken at his church about three different times over the years. Mike was out there doing a prayer walk in an area, like a park. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's walking along and praying to the Lord. And that's what's just great about doing a prayer walk. I do it on my runs. You know, I wrestle with things, talk, pray, hopefully get an answer, you know, get a word, have a time of worship. It's great. And so he's walking around. And in the distance, he sees this woman jogging towards him, running towards him. She's very tall, 6'3", 6'4", striking blondish, whitish hair pulled back in a ponytail, very athletic looking. Now, that's, you know, there are women on the planet that look like that. I understand that. But he immediately, in his spirit, he's checked. There's something evil coming to him, and he knows that. He's very unsettled, and he begins to pray against it almost immediately. As she gets about 20 feet away, they make eye contact. She's got very pale blue eyes. As she gets a little closer, her eyes switch, and the pupils go from pale blue to jet black. At that point, Mike is now verbally rebuking her out loud, out loud. Hmm. And as she runs by him, she growls. Now, I'm not making that up.
I know
is that a hybrid, or as Dr. Jacobs now is referring to them, hubreds, a hybrid that a hybrid still looks somewhat alien. The hubreds can pass. And Jacobs thinks they're already here. Don't know, but that's right from the front lines with Pastor Mike. And, you know, he immediately rebuked it. And we keep hearing more and more stuff like this. So I just think that the days are unprecedented and that people would do well to understand the times in which they're living in. You can avail yourself of the DVD Watchers 9. It's almost 2 hours long, plus Days of Chaos. You can go to the website, lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net, or, you know, Dan, we're trying to get a special deal for your listeners.
Sure.
And, you know, you can talk about that maybe by the time you air the show. We'll have that link up, and you can just use that link, and your people can save some money and help your ministry as well by buying from you.
Yeah, definitely. And for those of you that are listening to this program and do have your name on our email list, we'll be sending out an email in conjunction with this program because our guest, L.A. Marzulli, has offered this. And so, yeah, you'll get an email about that. We'll probably try to put the links also in the subject of the show descriptions everywhere that this program posts on the internet. And you know what, L.A., I know you got to go. Thank you so much for being a guest on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Conversations with you, always fascinating, always fast-paced, packed with all kinds of interesting subjects. And so, man, God bless you. God bless your ministry, brother.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Daniel.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Till next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.